If there's one symbol for America that just won't go away, it's apple pie. Politicians evoke the dessert to increase their appeal. Artists study its significance in the American social landscape. But just why is apple pie such a loaded metaphor for America? Is the real thing as appealing as the idea? John T. Edge is a food writer who's written for Gourmet magazine. He's also the author of the book, Apple Pie, An American Story. He told Steve Paulson that the roots of apple pie in America go back a long ways.
I think that it symbolizes kind of home and hearth for everyone. It symbolizes the bounty of America. There was a time not too long past when an apple tree wasn't that far from your back door, and an apple pie was not that hard to bake. We seem to look upon it now as with kind of misty-eyed reflection, but I would argue that an apple pie still isn't so darn hard to bake, and it still symbolizes this kind of bounty of America, this kind of wealth of America, both kind of in terms of fond recollection and also, you know, on the palate. It's something wonderful made frugal.
Is the apple pie an American invention?
It's an American, how would I say this? It's a food that we Americans remade. It is arguably a food that the British refined and that we remade in our own image. A food that we, by way of cooking, by way of telling stories, by way of kissing babies and eating hot dogs and politicians proclaiming their love of motherhood and apple pie, a dish that we came to claim as our own, but not a dish that we invented. There's no such thing as the first apple pie. It's like finding the first fried chicken leg or the first hamburger. It's a quest that's not worth seeking. I think what is worth seeking is finding, you know, the kind of local traditions, the local pies, the pies that reflect terroir, to use that fancy pants French term, the pies that reflect who we are and what places we live. Those are the pies that matter. It's going out to the Southwest and finding pies goosed with hot peppers. It's going.
Well, let me ask you about that, because you went all around the country sampling all kinds of different pies, and there are some pretty funky things that get into some of these pies. So, for instance, in New Mexico, pies baked with, I mean, apple pies baked with green chilies, right?
Yeah. Senor pie is the way this gentleman I met out in Albuquerque, a guy named Scott Robinson, it's how he styled himself, Senor pie. And the Hispanic ingredient, the way that he kind of de-anglicized the pie, was the addition of green chili peppers. Very much indigenous to that place, very much a part of, you know, if you think about the New Mexican version of Mexican food, you think about green chilies from Hatch and environs. But in fact, when you add it to pie, you get this wonderful kind of slow burn heat that will bead the top of your lip, but will not send you gasping for water or a glass of milk.
So does this still taste like an apple pie, but just with a little bit of extra oomph to it?
It does. In some ways, the kind of green taste of the chilies kind of points up the apples. It cuts through some of the sweetness and brings the taste of the apple more into focus for me. I really like it.
Now, you went all over the place and tried all kinds of different pies. For instance, wasn't there a cinnamon red hot apple pie?
Indeed, in Iowa. This is something that, you know, if you think about folk foods, those foods that have been cooked for a long while that we love because our grandmama cooked it or, you know, our great-grandmother cooked it, this is a more recent invention. And if you think about the traditional play of cinnamons and apples and sugar, this is a way to kind of jury-rig that. It's the addition of cinnamon red hots to the dough, or excuse me, to the pie mix. You get the cinnamon you want. You also get, in the same way as the green chili apple pie, you get this pleasing bite, this snap of heat. And when the red hots cook, the steam vents in the pie end up being tinged this lovely kind of coral pink color. But when then you try to kind of map the origins of this pie, you realize, you know, this is something that is just, you know, kind of casual. It's not something that someone set out to do. You know, it's a day in the kitchen. You're out of cinnamon. You reach for the red hots that your child might have brought home from the corner store. You throw that in knowing that it's got that pleasing bite of cinnamon to it. And then the phenomenon starts to spread. Another person picks up on it, another person, and it becomes a goof, something playful. And what's wrong with a playful apple pie?
Well, and that shows that food has really taken on a life of its own. I mean, when it starts being tinkered with and slightly altered in every corner of the country.
Yeah, it does. It shows that apple pie is something that we accept kind of from the Atlantic to the Pacific as our own. And by toying with it, by tinkering with it, we lay claim to its localness as opposed to saying, well, this is a dish that is, you know, that is monochromatic, that is this monoculture of apple pie from coast to coast. And in fact, people want to reinvent it. They want to lay claim to it. They want to tinker with it, to make it their own, to make some stab at originality. Why not tinker with apple pie a little bit?
So what does it take to make a really great apple pie?
The bones of a great pie is a great crust. In my experience, working with cold ingredients and working with good ingredients, good butter or good lard, you know, that's the bones, that's the basics, that's the backbone of a great pie is the crust.
So what kind of apples make the best apple pies?
Ah, now that's a hard one. I come back to this argument. Whatever apple you can get that's local, that's the apple to use. I don't like Red Delicious. I mean, that's a place to start. I think those are, put it this way, the pies that you see in the grocery store that look so beautiful, that came shipped in from somewhere else, that are just glowing, polished red, waxed really well, those are not the apples to use. The gnarly, ugly ones that have got character, those are the apples to use.
Well, tell me a few varietals that you especially like.
Well, I've got a lovely list of them. Let me read them off to you. Toward that same point of kind of the grocery store apples I don't like, mm-hmm. There's a great quote from Jack Butler, who's a novelist, who said that grocery store apples have all the fiber of a politician's moral courage and all the flavor of a CEO's reading habits. Those are the apples you don't want to use.
Well, and I think a lot of people would agree with you on the Red Delicious. I mean, whether you put them in apple pies or whatever. I mean, that's not exactly an advertisement for fine eating.
No, it's not. But I think Americans are waking up to these other varieties. Braeburns, I love. Pink Ladies, which are kind of tangy. Cameos, which are juicy. All these kind of very localized varieties, these heirloom varieties of apples. And they really are, when you look at them in the store, they've not been bred for beauty, but for taste. They're not likely to be as beautiful and shiny as the Red Delicious. But, you know, beneath that kind of gnarly skin lies a beautiful, rich apple. There's such a range in apples, from something that can be incredibly tart. Like when I was a child, I remember biting into crab apples off trees. You know, they'll take your head off. They're so tart. But there's a continuum that goes from that tartness that puckers. It's like biting into a lemon, rind and all, to something that is almost insipidly sweet, like the Red Delicious. Between those two poles lies the apple you want, the Braeburn, the Cameo, the Pink Lady. And you'll see now as you travel, and I think one of the great ways to figure out an apple pie is to get on the road and stop at fruit stands when the apples are coming in and pick an apple. Talk to the fruit stand guy. They'll help you figure out what's great to bake with. Take that apple home. Figure it out. Figure out, does it need a little more sugar? Does it need a little more cinnamon? What makes it great?
Now, we've been talking about the symbolic value of apple pie, and some people have played with that idea. I mean, for instance, you met a performance artist in Brooklyn, I believe, who did something with apple pies.
Yeah, this woman, she's delightful. Her name's Anissa Mack. And in the summer of, I think it was 2002, she started baking pies in this storybook cottage that she set up near the Brooklyn Public Library. I mean, it was this perfect scene. I saw a video of this. I never actually saw this. I ended up spending a lot of time with Anissa and talking through this phenomenon. But she set up what is everybody's idealized vision of a cabin, a little rural cabin. You know, she put a hand-hewn spice rack on the wall. She put an oven in the back, and she made pie four times a day. She'd make a pie. She'd put it on the windowsill to cool. This all, remember, in the shadow of the Brooklyn Public Library, in a traffic median with traffic just thrumming by, buses, cars going everywhere, Anissa would bake a pie four times a day, put it on the windowsill, and then wait for someone to steal it.
And did they?
Of course they did.
The whole pie? They didn't just take a slice of it?
No, there were people. There were swipes of entire pies. There were some people that stopped to share. There were tussles over pie. I don't think there were blows, but I think there were, you know, raised knives or forks at one another. But she was exploring this idea, that kind of mythical idea. Do you remember the Saturday Evening Post cover from the 1930s of a tramp, a hobo, stealing a pie off a windowsill? You know, that pie, that swipe of a pie by a tramp during the Depression, during hard times, you know, someone had access to an apple tree. You know, they baked a pie, they put it on the windowsill to cool, and the tramp comes by and swipes it. You know, it is a victimless crime in many ways. The tramp sees this farmer woman who has access to apples, who's baked a pie. He swipes it away. She, Anissa Mack, wonders, by way of this exhibit, by way of her interactive art, you know, how does that play in the year 2002? How does it play in the 21st century? Will they still swipe pies? Would someone trust a baker to make a pie that wasn't laced with, you know, all manner of, you know, harmful chemicals? You know, is this the kind of naivete of that swipe? Does it still play? And how does the pie function as a symbol in 21st century America? She didn't offer answers to that. I think by way of staging that, she asked some questions.
Now, I'm going to put you on the spot here. If you had to pick out the single best apple pie that you have tasted, or the apple pie experience that you had, what would it be?
It's easy. I don't like to play favorites, and I've got 20 different ways to dodge this question that I've developed over time, but I'm not going to do it. The Marlborough pie is my favorite, and this is a pie that really is place-specific. New England is where you find it. If you read the writings of Harriet Beecher Stowe, the great abolitionist, she was obsessed with Marlborough pie. She wrote beautifully of the pies. She called them Marlborough pudding pies. And she thought that they attested to the boundless fertility of the feminine mind when let loose in a given direction.
So what is this pie? What's in it?
This pie is grated apples, not as you would normally think of, a sliced apple. You grate an apple. You mix in a bit of sherry, a bit of lemon, 3 eggs, and you make a custard, in essence, that you pour into a pie shell. You end up with this, the sherry and the lemon and the sugar in the pie. They play off each other, and you get this really heady mix that is a little bit musky, a little bit sweet, really custardy, and because you've grated the apples, there's some texture to it, too. It's amazingly good, and for those people who are kind of intimidated by the idea of, you know, will I end up with too loose a filling in my pie when I cut in? I don't like it when it starts to run and fall apart. This is the solution. It's amazingly good, and has, even though I'm a good old Southern boy from down deep south, it's become our family apple pie, the one that we serve on Thanksgiving, the one that we serve when we make a pie. It's become Marlborough pie.
John T. Edge. He's the author of the book Apple Pie, An American Story. Steve Paulson spoke with him.